God's man, Brother Andrew Tolkien, missionary to the King. He'll preach for us this evening. You listen to God's name.
Bless him, Lord.
Begin reading, if you found your place, in Romans chapter 1 together. If you want to stand for the reading of the Word of God, you're welcome to. If you're not able, you're welcome to remain seated. The Bible says here, Paul begins one of the most amazing epistles concerning the gospel. Holy Spirit moves upon him. He says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God, power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be the saints, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means, how at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by mutual faith, both of you and me. Let's pause our reading there and look quickly at Genesis chapter 24. And I want to look at verse number 21. Genesis 24 and verse number 21. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. Let's bow for prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I look to you tonight with great and
ability that I have is what I look to you now. All for the finish of our faith.
Lord,
I pray, Lord, for the church tonight, God. Thank you, God. Edify them, make them power and maturity, protection, God. I pray you would help them get the fall. Look here one more time, God. I pray I can remind you, Lord, of the ways everything is in your hands tonight.
Lord, I pray you.
Thank you, Lord. His mind is given us. Thank you, Lord, for the feast at your table this week already. Pray for those, Lord, that would come after us tonight, God. Would you, Lord, uplift them out, God. Thank you, Lord, for being blessed. Lord, we'll see him moderate and guide his service, God. We're grateful for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, the church said,
Amen.
You can pray with me if you can be seated. Ever since Acts chapter number 19, Paul saw an amazing move of God in the city of Ephesus. And it so excited the man of God, and so set his heart on fire to see God move in such a powerful way that there was open repentance in the streets publicly, that there was burning their books of sorcery and witchcraft to the sums of 50,000 pieces of silver. I add tonight, if you're dabbling in witchcraft or sorcery, that would do you good to repent of that and get your heart right with God. The Apostle Paul, in one instance here, he looks to a damsel who is saying all the right things about him and his co-laborers, that these are the servants of the Most High God. But Paul, being much troubled, he looked to them, and he said to that young lady, through the evil spirit that possessed her, come out. And in that instant, in that hour, the evil spirit left. And so I appreciate the authority that God gave us with the commission of Jesus Christ to operate in this world, knowing with full understanding that there is a spiritual battle and spiritual warfare.
That's right.
And so we thank God tonight, for he's able to part the waters and pave the way and cast out all sorts of spiritual wickedness and ungodliness and all sorts of vileness of the doctrines of the devils and open up for his saints to worship tonight. Paul, the Bible says here in Acts 19 and verse 21, after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia and had to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. Something that was in the heart of the man of God to visit this great imperial city. I believe that that there was news already that Christians were gathering from all sorts of ethnic backgrounds coming to this capital city, this epicenter of trade and commerce. And it was an amazing thing to behold as they took root into the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sins were washed away. And some have said, well, how did the gospel make it to Rome prior to Paul on the day of Pentecost when Peter stood and was filled with the Holy Ghost of God? And he took boldness and he preached the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's some 3,000 souls coming to know Christ. All those different ethnic groups that were there, the Bible says the Spirit of God opened their ears and every man heard in his own tongue. They went their separate ways. As it's been said this week over and over again, and if you've been born again by the grace of God, it's going to stick out somewhere. You'll have to tell somebody. And so I'm glad tonight that God has a plan. He's not wavering from that plan. He's not changing from that plan. It's been going on before the foundation of the world. It's still going on tonight. And so Paul is saying in his heart and his spirit, I must see Rome. Now then, as Paul, we know, as the preacher preached to us last night of the great conversion of Saul Tarsus to Paul, the apostle, God transformed him, changed his way, his walk, his even views of God began to mature and grow. As he told that testimony over and over, when he went from place to place, the times is recorded in the Word of God. He said there was a light shined out of heaven, and a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? As he went on and told it again, later he said, there was a great light shining out of heaven, and a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? The last recording of the man of God telling his testimony, he said there was a light that outshined the noonday sun, and a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he fell on his face before God. We know that he was trying to resist those pricks for his thesis, but all the grace of God found him where he was at. He did expose the fallacy. He did expose the religion that he had. Oh, the grace of God knew how to cross him, and knew how to lead his heart down to repentance. And come to faith with God and confess himself before God. And God done a work in his heart.
Amen.
Changed this man.
Amen.
Changed him from darkness into light. This same apostle has grown in grace. He has great desires as he has made his journeys, first missionary journey, second missionary journey, third missionary journey. It's trouble. He's perplexed. There's times he's been in prison, times he's not been in prison. Times he's suffered, times he's not suffered. There's been perils of shipwrecks. There's been times he's been in the deep day and night for several days on end. The man of God has tested the storms he's suffered. And so he has gone under great, great difficulty and great struggles. Oh, but he somehow, when there is this understanding that in some ways, in some light, he understands in Rome that people has heard things about him. He's never met them yet. And so all they know is this is a guy that's been changed. He used to seek out and kill Christians, but now he's telling them about the way, the truth, and the life. His name is Jesus. He writes this letter going in front of his travels. Going before his journey. He's going to clear the air. There's been talk about what gospel does he preach. Some say it's this gospel. Some say it's that gospel. And he wants to just make everything clear. Before I arrive, he is going to just tackle the battle of confusion and send this letter out, stating I am an apostle, called of God, preach the gospel of God. And he begins this amazing, amazing letter which helps the church there in Rome. Paul greatly helps them. There was Jewish believers, there were Gentile believers, and they was trying to say that one was better than another, but Paul was able to help flatten and iron all that out, where all man was born depraved and needed the grace of God. Someone said to me today, did Adam have a belly button? I don't know if Adam had a belly button or not, but I do know one thing. If you gathered up every man born after Adam until the end of the world, and you put them all in the same room, we might disagree about a lot of things, but one thing we will all agree on, that Adam was the very best man, had the very best character, yes. For the very best physical physique, yes. The very best mannerism, yes. The best knowledge of all men put together. He was the federal head, yes. Of all human kind. Yes. And he fell in sin, brought all condemnation to all,
right.
Men,
yes.
Wherein all, yes. Have sinned.
Yes. Right.
That lumps us all together.
Yes.
Paul is anxious to get there. He desires to be with this church, this maturing church. He wants to be there. His desire that he says, around verse number 11, he says, I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift.
Right.
To the end that you may be established.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to see them fall and falter. He wants to bring them something to help them get established.
Amen.
Help them stand up on their own two feet. Help them carry on down the way.
Amen.
He wants to present them unto God pure and chaste. And he says, making requests. He said, I don't fail to mention you in my prayers. I'm praying for you. He says there, making requests by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to you.
Yeah.
He, I made some plans and said, I've got to run on to Jerusalem. I want to be there for the feast.
Yeah.
And then after the feast is over, I'm going to make my way, get some fares, and I'm going to sail off to Rome. He had his vision not to stay at Rome, but to stop over at Rome. His sights were set on Spain, somewhere where the gospel had not been preached, thank God. And so he says that he's been praying, and he said that I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God.
Isn't
it amazing sometimes when we sat down and begin to look at life.
Yeah.
And we say, you know, I want things to, we begin to plan, maybe make some plans. And it's okay to make plans. It's okay to sit around with your wife and consider and pray about the will of God and what direction to go in and where to go and what to do. Paul has been praying concerning this trip, this prosperous journey out of Rome. Sometimes, though, like that verse over in Genesis chapter 24 and verse 21, as I read tonight, we wonder whether the Lord hath made the journey prosperous or not. I want to look tonight at this journey that Paul made and see how it looks. In Acts chapter 27, Paul has made his way now down to Caesarea. He's not been led in some caravan, some plush buggy ride to the shoreline, maybe as he had hoped to. But now that he's in shackles, he's in chains for those Jews falling in Jerusalem. And they said, here's the man that causes all the trouble. They arrested him. And he said, can I make my plea before Caesar? So they lead him on down to the edge line. He's in a prisoner boat. And he leaves and he strikes sail. And as they make their way out to Cyprus, he for restocking and for provisions for the vessel and the boat. The Bible tells us a story. The Bible says here in verse 4, when we have launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. They had to make a change in direction. And the Bible says, and when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia, and Pamphylia, we came to Mysia and Lycia. And the Bible says in verse 6, and there the centurion of the centurion from the ship of Alexandrian sailing to Italy, and he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Claudius, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmon. And then the Bible tells us that they was in a great tempestuous storm called Erechon. And it began to raise up some hurricane type force. And they didn't see the sun nor the moon for several nights. And then as that ship was tossed to and fro in the storm, the daylight below, they throw them overboard to not perish. And so as they tried to survive this tempestuous wind, this storm of immense proportion, the Bible says that they become fearful. And you can imagine that there's seemingly, as the men said, all hope was gone. It was ready to just perish in the depths of the Mediterranean Sea. But I'm glad tonight that God met with his man somewhere in the bottom of that boat. There bowed a head and said, God, come by and help me, Lord. And the Bible said the angel of God had visited with Paul in the night. And he said, be of good cheer. Fear not. For I'm going to bring it all the way to Rome. And so Paul has stood up in the midst of that confusion, in the midst of that turmoil, and he said, sirs, be of good cheer.
Amen.
He said, for the God of my servant spoke to me in the night hour, and he said, everything's going to be okay.
Amen.
And he began to make his way. And so they see land, and they say, let's thrust this vessel onto the land. And they make their way to land. And as the boat hits that shore, it gets stuck fast in the creek. And the waves on the backside begin to bash that vessel. And it breaks. And the soldiers want to kill the prisoners, but the centurion, for Paul's sake, said, don't kill nobody. They all jumped, those that could swim, those that could jump on broken pieces of the vessel, and they made their way to shore. And when they got there, the man of God is just walking around like nothing had gone wrong. And he begins to make a little fire, and he begins to bring wood to warm by the fire. Viper comes out of the flame, bites his hand, he shakes it off in the fire. Well, the barbarians there, they saw that viper shake off in the flame. They said, man, this guy's going to die, for he's done some wrong things against God. And then as Paul carried on, they said, man, this guy's a special guy. He must be some kind of God. Paul corrected them and said, oh no, don't look to me. But can I force it away to the one that can't help you? And they brought all of it. They brought those that were diseased and many prayed, and they were healed of their sickness. Then they stayed there a while off the Isle of Malta. And then they finally set strike when it was a good season for sailing. And they make their way and dock somewhere off the shore of Italy. And they take a boat on land. Paul makes his way to Rome. And he's fasting. He's not welcomed by a grand committee. They don't have a fruit basket waiting on him. He's shackled. And he swept that prison cell. And there he sits. And we wonder and say, well, how in the world could that be a prosperous journey by the will of God?
Right.
That seems contrary to a prosperous journey.
Right.
Well, if it was us thinking tonight, and we wanted a prosperous journey, well, we sure would be pretty to set sail out on a nice, pretty boat, stretch out on a one long lawn chair, brother, and have one of them attendants come by with some grapes and dump them in our mouth one by one, and
right on and feel the cool and the warm sun of the ocean breeze and just enjoy the ride all the way to Rome. That reminds you that Paul had an understanding of the grace of God. I had an understanding that what he could not see, God was working. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Bible says in verse number 15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. And the Bible goes on and says, but through our outward man perish, yet the outward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, but is for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Can I tell you how prosper it was? Can I let you know as they made this journey, as they made their way, as they struck out the port, as they sought out, there's the man of God in chains. And there is all those prisoners on board. Through the man of God, through him being on board, him hearing to God, him listening to God, he was able to save a boatload of people. All prisoners made safely on shore. Hey, when a storm arises on where you are and in your life, and with things seemingly out of control, bring God to you in a place where you can save, where you can reach out and make a difference in somebody's life. Well, he goes on and he carries on, and they strike down by that island. There it is, those barbarians. I like to think it's maybe something like this. John, when Jesus was there in the boat of the disciples, he was walking on the water. And there was winds, there was waves. He was walking on those winds and waves. There was another time when they crossed the Sea of Galilee that he was asleep on the pillow in the hinder part of the ship. And the disciples began to get afraid and said, whoa, the winds are contrary. Whoa, the storm is raging. Are we going to make it? It's contrary to us. They wake the master. He comes to the front of that ship and he speaks to the wind and the waves and he says, peace, be still. And then Peter looked up to the other disciples on that sea, laid down his glass and said, what manner of man is this? And when obeyed for him. Maybe Paul somewhere down the belly of that ship said, God, I know you're in control of this storm. God, I know that you're mighty in control of it, God. And there in Psalm 107 it says, it's God that raises up the wind. God raises up the waves. And so, God looked down maybe on some little old Maltese boy that was saying, if you're really real, would you let me know about it? And God said, I will. And can you imagine just the moving of the hurricane right wind to get his man at the right place at the right time to show there's a gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's amazing. Now then, those barbarians look over, man, they can't help but it's untellable about them. How the First Baptist Church of Malta started. Then of course, God's on the way.
Yes, sir.
He comes to Rome, and there he is. People were saved. Lives were touched. It was a prosperous journey.
That's right. Yes, how about that? Amen.
How many of us have, or even now, as you don't do something, said, held his peace to wit whether the Lord hath made this journey prosperous or not?
We look around, we've gone through some difficult things. Preacher, you know what they said to me? I don't. But I know he knows. Preacher, you don't know the sickness that I've got. The doctors told me this and that. You know, you're right. I don't know. But I know he knows.
Yeah.
Can I tell you tonight, God has placed inside of you something very special.
Yes.
A light hidden in earthen vessels.
Yes.
He wants that light to come out.
Yep.
And it's such an amazing portion of scripture there.
Yeah.
In 2 Corinthians 4.
Yeah.
2 Corinthians 4.
Yeah.
It's just such a been a help to me and a blessing to me.
Yeah.
Here's what it says. Now, if it wasn't written in this book, it would be 100% too good. But it's written in this book.
Amen.
So you can believe exactly what it says.
Right.
He said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Something going on here. He's living, he's walking in something. He wants these Corinthians to walk in. He said, we are perplexed. I mean, we don't know what to do.
Amen.
He said, but not in despair.
Amen.
I'm not in despair. I'm not discouraged. I'm not down. What's Paul say? He said, I've been in prison. I don't know what to do.
Right.
Yeah. I ain't a bit worried about it. He goes on and he says this. He says, persecuted, but not forsaken.
Amen.
Cast down, but not destroyed.
Amen.
So there's something there. The fullness of Christ. It's like a river. You never just get over in it. Let me read on here. This is what it says. Watch now. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also Jesus might be made manifest in our body.
Amen.
Jesus in the garden prayed, Lord, if there be another way, Father, if there be another way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless,
Amen.
Our will be done.
There's
nevertheless, thy will be done.
Thank you.
They spit on him. They hit him with the open palm. His back was quivering ribbons of flesh. Face was marred. Hands were cruelly beaten and mocked. And they made fun of him. They mocked him. They ridiculed him. They put a robe on his back and ripped it off and open those wounds again. They put a crown of thorns on his head. His retaliation was, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do.
God bless you, brother.
They don't know what they do. Paul is saying in that verse, that power is available. That power is in you. That power, when all things are going turmoil, when everything's spinning around out of control, when we can't understand what's going on, there's a power only in God that says, oh, it's the
His children. That etched and charred this old house of clay.
Yeah.
There's a light on the inside.
Yeah.
He wants that light to shine out.
Yes.
Paul had such an understanding. If he got his eyes on what he did see, man, he'd be wandering his hands. Oh, it's a storm. Oh, we're going down. Oh, it's over. But his eyes was on a plane high above. Could you imagine if your eyes was on what was going on? Oh, but no, friend, the divine God in the body of a man. You're doing exactly as my Father has planned it. For I know no man takes my life, but I willingly lay it down, and I will take it up again with power to fill my people, my children. Paul didn't fret. He didn't worry about the tempestuous winds. No, his confidence was solidly resting in the power of God, in the plan of God. God, by the will of God, would have a purpose for what he was facing and going through.
Right.
Amen.
I don't know what you've gone through or what you're going through, but I want you to lift up your eyes and don't look on the things that you see. They are temporal.
That's right.
But he says, look on the things that you cannot see.
Mm-hmm.
They are eternal.
Right.
They're working for us at an exceeding eternal weight of glory.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Now, how can you look at something that you cannot see? How can you look at something that you cannot see? I had somebody were to say to me, Andrew, look over here. I would look and try my best to see what they were pointing at. But how do we look at something that we cannot see? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Isn't it amazing when God just things just take a turn?
Amen.
You know, you can't quite figure out what all God's doing.
Oh yeah.
I want to tell you, He's doing something.
Yeah.
I got a call just before coming to the church. Laying there in the bed, and I got a call, and a friend of mine was driving her boy to the hospital. Sick, real sick. My pastor's grandson, y'all pray for him. But I'm confident tonight, somewhere in that hospital room is a family. They're gathered around. They're a little bit worried.
Sure.
Like what he said, they was worried. They were perplexed. They was, but yet,
yes,
there's a strength that's there.
Yeah.
And that is what confounds the world.
Amen.
Yes.
That's what they don't understand.
Right.
That's why when we go through things, we understand what they're seeing is the crucifixion of Christ. We're partakers of the sufferings of Christ.
Right.
Let me read that to you real quick over here. Let me read this to you tonight. Look here in 1 Peter 4 and verse number 13. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. That when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy.
Right.
Partakers of the sufferings, the suffering body of Christ is shown in us.
Right.
The dying body of Christ is revealed in us. So that the life of Christ might be made manifest.
Amen.
What does that mean, preacher? That means when the doctor just said, sir, you've got terminal cancer. And you look back and you go, okay. My Lord's going to take care of that.
Yeah.
That's firm. That's solid.
Yes.
That's on a rock. And people think that's not the normal result that they're used to seeing.
Yeah. Right.
That's not the normal reaction that they're used to get. And so this confounds the mind of those that have not been saved.
Right.
Let me close with this. When Abraham sent his servant to go get Isaac, that's the man that wondered whether it was prosperous or not.
Mm.
The reason sometimes we wonder whether it's prosperous or not because we can't see.
Right.
He didn't know the chapter, the verse that we have been read.
Right.
He was out there with a camel, making a long, hard journey, making his way all the way down there. And when he got down there, there was a damsel that come out there, prepared to look upon, gave him water and drink, and he said, "Man, I don't know if this is going to be the one or not. I don't know if this is a prosperous journey or not." But I want to remind you a few verses later. There's some earrings and some gold and some exchange.
Yeah.
He saddles up a bride, brings her back to Isaac.
Yeah.
So I want to help you tonight to understand that a prosperous journey is when God uses you and I through various circumstances, situations, difficulties, afflictions, sufferings, struggles. When God uses these situations in our life, to send out the servant and go fetch the bride, go fetch another, and go bring home another, all the way to the son. I'm glad tonight that God can use an old dumbfounded sinner boy.
Yeah.
Say, "I'm going to just, you don't understand it all the way. I know, Lord, I'm perplexed, but I'm not distressed. I'm not going to get sideways in the thing. I've got it all figured out, Lord." Oh, he said, "I'm not yet attained. I'm not yet apprehended what I've been apprehended for." He said, "God, I don't know exactly all that you saved me for. God, I don't understand all of it. But this one thing I do, I press to the mark of my
God."
Amen.
Press on.
Yeah.
Press on.
Yeah, press on.
It's a prosperous journey.
Yes. Yes.
And an amazing thing to know, dear friend, look up to God by faith. That whatever you walk through in life, whatever you face in life, by faith, knowing that it will work out something eternal. That means it don't ever end.
Yeah, right.
Isn't that amazing thing?
Yeah,
eternity means it never ends.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Amen.
God does eternal work. Yeah. What He put in you at salvation is still working out. Just keep on going. And all through eternity, thank God, it'll be an amazing thing. Just look back over the ages. Just enjoy the good grace of God. Somehow God will somehow orchestrate it. Manifest things to happen in our life. Somehow get glory from folk like us. And no wonder we gather around the throne.
Looking
at the crowd, all of a sudden, everybody, Lord, it's yours.
Yeah.
Every bit of it, God.
Yeah.
I've got nothing, Lord. Right. It'll be all about Him. We'll pass. Right. The Lamb of glory. Bow down and worship Him throughout the ages roll.
Yeah.
I don't know where that place will be, but I know it'll be near Him. I know there'll be no sun in that city, for He is the light.
Right.
I know this. Right. I know. Father, there's no more sin, no more separation. Go be with Christ for our eternity forever.
Amen.
Amen. It said we'll be known as we're known.
Amen.
This is kind of how I like to think, you know, let's just let it go. God has a way of coming through that clay, that earthen vessel.
Right.
And we're worshiping one day around the throne.
Yeah.
60 million years, we're just enjoying God. Let me bump into somebody in the worship service.
Yeah.
And say, "I want nurses."
Yeah.
Something stuck on me.
Yeah.
It's kind of an amazing thing. I'm glad God allows things to happen.
Yes, sir.
But
glad God orchestrates things to give glory for us.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I hope your journey tonight. I hope you're looking at it as a prosperous journey.
Right.